Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now, here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Out of 11. With a week to go.
All right. It is Bronco Monday, talking basketball. Don't have a game, so we're looking for stuff to talk about, and four of the 11 teams have their spots locked up for the tournament.
On the men's side.
With two games to go. Two.
Well, I think four locked at this stage is a pretty high number.
Really?
And for me, it is, yeah, because a lot of times you've got a lot of ties and you got a lot of, you know, there's still two games left. You think it's low?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Two games.
Well, the one and the two are set. That's Nevada and Boise State.
Right.
And they'll be on opposite sides of the bracket. If you're a Boise State fan, that means the first game the Broncos will play will be Thursday night, March the 8th. It'll be the early game of the evening session, so that'll tip at 7 Mountain Time. If you're going, it'll be a 6 Pacific Time start. And the bottom two teams are set, Colorado State at 10 and San Jose State, who is winless, at 11. And Colorado State right now would play UNLV, would be the 7, and I bring that up because the winner of that would face Boise State, and right now Fresno is the 3, and if you're asking me two teams that I'd love to see go on the other side of the bracket, for me, it would be UNLV and Fresno State. So as of now, with two games to go, and still a lot of things can change in the middle, I think Boise State has a really tough draw, at least if the tournament were to start today.
I think the worst nightmare for Boise State would be a 2-7. And that's where they're headed, it looks like, and the 7 would be UNLV.
Well, but UNLV could conceivably move up.
Hopefully.
They probably won't move down, although Utah State's one game below them. UNLV still with a game against Nevada coming up, and then a game against Utah State. So if Utah State were to win that, they could maybe get the tiebreaker, or at least, you know, even them up. So still some movement in the middle.
A lot of stuff could happen.
Is this one of those things you need a slide rule for?
Yeah.
Or is this...
Yes, you do. You also might need a Ouija board, too, to forecast what's going to happen.
More of an abacus deal.
Exciting time.
The thing that I like for Boise State coming into this week and coming out of what we've just seen, play two teams that they are better than, Air Force and Colorado State, and it appears that they've got their shot back. They look good in all phases of the game in both games.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bye on the weekend to recharge and get yourself ready. If you had a game, you would have a lower turnaround of one day because you got the game Tuesday night against San Diego. So you had the bye, leaving you with the Tuesday game. And then you're going to get an extra day on Wyoming, who has to travel to come here for the game Saturday. And it's a 5 o'clock game. And then you go down there and you don't have to play the first day. So as far as where the games are positioned, not against whom you might face in the tournament, I really like the amount of games and where they're positioned for Boise State.
Yeah, I like them too. And the only thing that Wyoming is so schizophrenic. I mean, they have everybody on the team can hit threes.
Right.
And they have no conscience. None. When they were behind in that 119 to 114 game, they came down, in the last 2 minutes? How many threes did they hit? 5?
Yeah, just about. But the thing about Wyoming, up until last week, I thought Wyoming was one of those teams that was Jekyll and Hyde, and I think they still are Jekyll and Hyde, but they were really good at home and really bad on the road. Yeah. But then they lose to New Mexico, the 119-114 game you're referencing, in a game in which nobody played any defense, and there were a whole bunch of fouls called, and then they'd been terrible on the road, and they go down to Fresno, the team that had the longest winning streak in the league,
and
at home, Fresno won 5 in a row, and they win the game, and they win it fairly easily. So,
yeah.
Some of this in the middle for me is a head scratcher in the Mountain West.
Yeah, it is. And there are teams really that can step up and beat you on any given night.
And that's the thing about a one game tournament. You know, one game meaning you or they advance.
Yep.
They might not have enough to do it 3 days in a row. But if they have enough to do it on the day they play you, you're out. And then maybe the second game, they're not as good because they revert back to their other self, and then somebody else, you know, cleans through. The only team that I think heading into Las Vegas that's totally safe is Nevada. I think Nevada is in the tournament, whether they win the first game or whether they go to the finals and lose. Obviously, if they win the tournament, they get the automatic. Boise State, I think if they want to get an at-large, we'll have to win the two games this week. We'll have to get to the finals, and we'll have to lose to Nevada. I think losing to anybody else in the finals gives that team the automatic. Mountain West not going to get three.
No way. No way will they get three. It's 8:43. It's a Bronco Monday.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. I guess that is a big question, whether or not San Diego State will have a full complement of players.
Well, Malik Pope was one of the players that was listed in that agent's payout list. He was one of the lowest payroll guys. He was getting a $1,400 loan, which I think was either lowest or next to the bottom. But they held him out of the San Jose State game. Whether he'll play tomorrow night against Boise State, that still remains to be
seen. Holding somebody out of a San Jose State game is like holding somebody out of a scrimmage. San Diego State is not
good. I mean, San Jose.
San Jose State is not good. San Diego State is not as good as we thought they'd be.
No, we'll get to them in just a few moments. We'll get to some Coach Rice stuff from the coach's show. He talked about having the bye this past Saturday to lead to the final two games of the regular season, to lead to the Mountain West tournament. He thought it came at a great time.
Bye early in the year, you know, you're excited to play. You're kind of on a roll. You don't need them then. But, you know, over the course of the season, it gets you play a lot of games. You got a lot of practices. There's times when you do need them, coming off the road, traveling, all those things. And so this one came at a terrific time for us because now you get a week before you play. It doesn't make the game Tuesday any easier by any means, but it gives you a little more time to get your legs back and get your minds right. And it's nice having it over a weekend, too.
Yeah, it is. And I was thinking about that. It is nice to have it over a weekend.
I think it's a little more relaxing.
Yeah.
Yep. And I say it from myself as the announcer of the travels, but I also think that from the player's point of view as well. When we looked at the last week's games, the wins over Air Force and Colorado State, the thing that I was most enthused with is that the three-point shooting was back. Now, those two teams don't defend as well as, say, Nevada, and that's one of the reasons why Boise State didn't shoot a good 3% against Nevada because they were good. But at least they went in, and I think three-point shooting is so much about confidence, and Coach Rice talked about getting the mojo back.
Gone back to some individual work where we're working on our skills a little bit more, and you know, we're just trying to get everybody clicking their most confident self. They're, you know, and they're all kind of lifting each other up that way, and that's been really good. I mean, you know, we told Justinian, the old baseball coach at Gonzaga used to tell me that a really good hitter, when the pitcher's starting his motion, he's saying yes, 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 and then he'll back off on it. Mm-hmm. We want Justinian that every time he catches the ball, say yes, 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 I'm going to shoot it, and then if he has to back away from it, that's fine. And so we told the other guys, like, hey, when you're throwing the ball, yell yes, 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 he needs to shoot it. And we want him to have that mindset, and that's what great shooters do. They have a mindset of every time they catch it, they want to shoot.
And I think for Boise State to win the Mountain West tournament, they're going to have to shoot a decent percentage from three. And having Justinian Jessup making a decent number, and he made, I think, 4 in 1 game, 5 in the other game, that's their offense. I mean, Hutchison's been pretty much a given.
Yep.
Sengfelder lately has been a given.
Yep.
What you expect. I think Haney may be one of the more important players on the floor. They need to keep him out of foul trouble.
He's turned into a 10-point-a-game
guy. He has, but you can maybe get him to 15 if he stays out of foul trouble. And I think you're going to need 4 or 5 threes from Jessup. I'd like to see Hobbs get back to that double-figure guy off the bench. He hasn't had that as of late, but, the more players you can get playing at optimum level, the better chance you have to advance, because you know there's going to be a game somebody's going to be in foul trouble in the tournament.
Yep.
Somebody.
Always happens.
And then I think the biggest improvement for me this year has been on the rebounding.
Oh, boy.
This team has had huge rebounding advantages. They out-rebounded Colorado State by 20 in the last game. They've out-rebounded now 23 of 28 opponents, and when they've done that, they are 19-4. They've out-rebounded opponents by 10 or more rebounds 12 times this year, and Coach Rice on the Coach's Show spoke of why they're a good rebounding team.
Well, we've got the good pieces to do it. We got good bigs that are, you know, that are pretty big and pretty strong, and, you know, like, they do their job. They do their job every possession. And you got guys that have attention to detail, and then we got a couple big bodies we can rotate through to keep them a little bit fresh. But, you know, when you got all those big guys blocking out, and then you got an athlete like Chandler who can come in and swoop up the rebound and go get college rebounds mm-hmm. above the rim, that makes for a good mix, and that's kind of what we have.
And again, Boise State, the recipe: rebound like you've been, defend the three like they've done all season, make the three like you've done most of the season, and you got a good chance to win. We'll be back with more of Bronco Monday here on 670 KBOI.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
8:51, it is a Bronco Monday. Boise State's opponent, San Diego State Aztecs. Bob and I talking off the air, and I think maybe the most disappointing team as far as early season expectations in the conference.
Well, they had good freshmen.
Yep.
They had a couple good seniors in Pope, who's the guy that's suspended now, and Trey Kell, and he'd been injured a lot of the Mountain West season, so maybe that was part of the problem, but I expected a little more from them. I thought Boise State and Nevada were going to be the best three teams in the league. They're sort of in the middle right now. Looks like they might even have to play on the first day. Still going to be a tough game Tuesday night. It's going to be late. We'll be on the air with an 8:30 pregame, and then want to call people's attention to the Saturday late afternoon 5 o'clock tip with Wyoming. Mm-hmm. Chandler Hutchison's final home game for Boise State.
Get out and give him a send-off.
And two grad transfers, Sangfelder and Williams, who, in my opinion, if they don't show up here as grad transfers, we're not sitting at 22-6 right now.
No, we had about 16, 17 wins.
If we'd picked up two freshmen, they wouldn't be in the same position as those guys. So those three guys will be honored. And to me, this has been an extremely good team, 22-6. Could they have won a couple more? Maybe. Could they have lost a couple tight ones? Maybe. So it probably sits about where they should. And, again, on the bubble for an at-large, Oregon's win over Arizona helped us. Loyola of Chicago, who came in here, and Boise State won the game by about 25. I thought that team was awful. Mm-hmm. They've won the regular season in the Missouri Valley.
They have.
So they've been a help. Iowa State maybe hasn't done as well as we would have liked, and SMU probably hasn't. They've had some injuries that have made their team not be as good as possible. But, hey, we're getting a couple quadrant wins. Maybe in the first quadrant, thanks to Oregon, maybe picking up a little steam at the end of the season.
Loyola maybe getting up there. Would be good.
Final coaches show will be Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Chandler Hutchison is going to be our player guest, so leading up to senior night. So if you want to come out and see Chandler and see our show, Stonehouse, 6 o'clock right next. It's right next to the Ram. It's the stone building right next to the Ram. And, 6 o'clock Thursday night.
And I just want to say something. Where you had a cut earlier this morning with the women's coach.
Mm-hmm.
Gordy was on, and he was talking about Loofer and credited her great shooting and her breakout and everything to good coaching.
And he chuckled.
And then he chuckled, and said, okay.
Gordy's got a great dry sense of humor. Speaking of the women's team, game back. Wyoming and UNLV are a game ahead. So Boise State plays Wyoming on the road on Friday to close the season. So if they were to win out, beat San Diego State in their senior night game, that's Tuesday night at 7, you can go to that game. And then you can come back and listen to the men's game when you're on your way home, because that doesn't start till 9.
Exactly.
Shea Shaw playing her final game. She's a tremendous player, 1,000 points, 800 rebounds, 200 assists. Nobody's ever done that for Boise State women. It'll be her last game. She's been a four-year starter for the Broncos. And they're right there in the mix. They can get a split of the championship just by winning their last two games, but then they also have to get UNLV to lose one of their last two. They would take care of Wyoming losing a game because they beat them, but that's going to be a tough challenge for them on Friday night in Laramie.
Yeah, it's always tough in Laramie. But anyway,
five teams about a game, two games apart in the women's standing. So I think the women's bracket way more unsettled than the men's. As we mentioned at the start of this show here, the first and the second seed, Boise State, the second seed set, 10-11, Colorado State, San Jose State on the bottom set in the middle can go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, they can. It's.
I got a question for you. Would you rather see Hutchison have a tournament, a conference tournament where he scores 30 in every game or has something like 15 assists again? You know, because they might.
Can I have both?
Because they'll probably
30
double.
30 points and 15 assists.
They will probably double and triple team.
Well, and it's funny how different teams have attacked him. Different teams have, you know, face guarded or done whatever. I think it would be nice to have either one, because if he's got 30, you'd like to think that some other people are chipping in with 10. Mm-hmm. And if he's got 15 assists, well, then that means that they're probably covering him, but that's at least 30 points
right.
just off his passes alone, not counting, because you don't get an assist if you get fouled. So, you know, maybe there's other free throws. He leads in all three categories. I don't think Boise State can win the tournament without a special performance from him. I think if Boise State wins the tournament, I'd feel pretty darn certain that he'll be the MVP of the tournament.
Yeah, I think the three is the key for Boise State in the tournament. You talked earlier about how they're shooting better now. Mm-hmm. I think if they can hit 40%, 35% of their threes, they're
golden.
Which
in the two games they lost against Nevada, they weren't above 20.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, if they could shoot normal. And for Boise State, normal three is about 39, 40%. If you told me I could shoot normal 39, 40%, we'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it. And I think they'll win. If they can do that during the tournament, they'll win it.
All right. Basketball tomorrow. So be there right here on News Talk 670. Pregame at 8:30. It's 8:56. Idaho Talks Live follows a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris on a Monday, huh?
Monday, it is.
All day today.
Not a federal holiday today, hence here we are.
Yeah, and so we showed up, and I was reading a story today. I bet since last fall, I've had three family units come up to me and say, two of them from San Francisco and one of them from San Diego.
Yeah.
Say, I am never going back to California ever again on vacation because of the homeless problem in those two cities. And there's a big story today on the Fox News Channel about what one community is doing to fight back from the homeless problem. They got pictures, Chris, that it's Anaheim, and they have pictures of Angel Stadium, and right outside the fence, there's a homeless camp 2 miles long.
Wow.
And that is being torn down, and the homeless people are being moved. The story says 25% of the homeless people in the country are in California.
Wow.
25%.
And see, California has about 11% of the 11 or 12% of the total population of the U.S. anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But so they've got twice as many homeless people. On the other hand, they also have
good weather.
Yeah, they have good weather.
And there's something to be said.
Well,
for
yeah,
that.
And if you're going to be homeless, I mean, you want to be homeless in San Diego or Minneapolis.
Yeah, the specter of homeless encampments steadily expanding across the downtown streets of San Diego, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, bringing with them a public health crisis, as one Southern California community taking tough action to dismantle a 2-mile-long camp a short drive from Disneyland. In a departure from the approach taken by other local governments in the state, officials in Orange County have started to clear out the camp by moving occupants and hauling away tons of trash and hazardous waste.
Okay, and this is something that you and I have both asked people this. We have had people say to us on the radio, off the radio, you know, why are the police, being so mean to the homeless people? You know, why is the city, not just our city, but other cities, discriminating against the homeless people, this, that, and the other? You know, why don't they let them live where they want, et cetera, et cetera? And the question we always ask is, where do you think these people go to the bathroom?
Exactly. There aren't toilets. There aren't toilets.
Yes, there are problems that come along with daily life.
And drug use and drug needles and stuff laying on the ground.
If you don't have a house or some kind of facilities to use.
It's becoming part of the permanent landscape in those communities. There's no way we're going to allow Orange County land that is supposed to be used by residents to be occupied by the homeless, says Todd Spitzer, who sits on the Orange County Board of Supervisors. Now, this stance, if you will, is popular with some people, but very unpopular with others.
And there are people who want to be very charitable about this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they say, well, we need to have more shelters. Well, somebody has to fund those shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have more of this, more of that. You know, what was it? Salt Lake City, I guess, is where they just decided, they did the math, and they finally just decided to start giving homeless people apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that's kind of what they're doing here.
Because they figured out that as much money as they were spending with policing homeless people and doing various other things for them, they would actually be better off if they simply built them some apartment buildings. Of course, it's like the projects in New York. It's ultimately not a terribly safe place to be. However, you do have things like a toilet and a tub and a roof over your head.
These homeless camps aren't great places to be either.
You're right.
Trash trucks and contractors in hazmat gear have descended on the camp. So far, they've removed 250 tons of trash, 1,100 pounds of human waste, go figure it out, and 5,000 hypodermic needles. The effect has not been without controversy, of course. The American Civil Liberties Union and a federal judge have all weighed in on the fate of some 700 people evicted from their homes along the Santa Ana River. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Santa Ana River there by the ballpark. It's kind of like the Los Angeles River. It's paved, you know?
Right.
And people used to bike and walk and hike.
Most of the time, not a huge amount of water in it.
It's like 2 miles long, and it goes from the city to the ocean.
Yeah.
All right. Spitzer, whose district includes the encampment, has battled the advocates since last fall when they made the decision to close the camp. The ACLU and others filed a federal civil rights lawsuit to stop this. Several stays have ensued until last week when they got the final go-ahead.
Yeah.
For those being evicted, a mediation with a U.S. District Court judge, now listen to this, offered them a choice of a bed in a shelter or a month-long motel voucher, medical aid, drug treatment, job training, storage for their belongings, and housing for pets at the animal shelter.
Well, those are pretty good benefits if you don't have a home.
544 people have been moved to shelters and motel rooms. Approximately 100 remain at the riverbed. One option is not negotiable. They can't move back to the river channel, which has paved shoulders where residents used to walk and bike. They don't go down there now. It's extremely unhealthy. The river, which runs from the mountains to the sea, is home to much of Orange County's groundwater and empties between pricey Newport and Huntington beaches.
Yeah.
The beach has been closed often because of
Remember the tent city that was over just off the connector?
Right.
There behind that shelter.
The skate park.
Yeah, near there. And when they finally tore all of that down, and then they did so because it was a terrible health hazard, we talked to some of the people who were part of the teardown, and they said that 80 to 90% of the tents that were there had excrement in them.
Mm-hmm.
They had heroin needles, various drug paraphernalia, and they also had a lot of items that were stolen from yards in the North End.
Bicycles,
yard decorations, bicycles, things like that. Stuff that somebody would just have out front of their house and figure nobody would bother, and then it was gone.
Mm-hmm. Listen to this: Los Angeles's homeless problem is now spread past Skid Row to much of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to L.A. for a while. The amount of feces littering the streets in San Diego, Los Angeles and San Francisco has led to a hepatitis outbreak that spread throughout the state's homeless communities, infecting 694 people.
Yeah, so it's a total health hazard. Everything.
Los Angeles and San Francisco have been singled out for criticism. San Francisco's feces problem is so bad, a website exists to warn residents which streets to avoid.
Entire streets.
Entire streets. L.A. raised taxes last year in order to build housing for the homeless and has a roving toilet program. 9-16. And a gas mask. One of my favorite songs ever, Scott McKenzie. Flowers in your hair.
Well,
not going to stop the stench in San Francisco. Let's go to Mark of Eagle. Mark.
Well, guys, I know you guys aren't, and a lot of people out there that are, and I'm not saying you guys are bent to the left, socialist thinkers, whatever, but they are not going to like what I'm going to say. You know, Savage has been hitting on this on his talk radio show here on KBOI, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, folks, about this for several years. And he's talked about just recently, last week, about the airborne illnesses from the dried feces.
He talked about trying to eat at a sidewalk cafe in San Francisco and said there's just no way to do it anymore.
I lived there in the Bay Area. I had a business down there for about 15 years, and it used to be where I enjoyed less and less going over there. And now I've been here going on 23 years, so back then it was starting to deteriorate, but it's gotten far worse since the time I left there. You know, there are families that go down there, visitors that go down, like Fisherman's Wharf, and I've already heard the horror stories because Savage had people call in from across the country who visited there and said how disgusting it is, and you got to walk around the excrements or needles that you might see on the sidewalk. You know, this is what happens, folks, when you have progressive, socialist-minded governments running a state like California. They push it into the direction of what's going on in Valenzuela. You know, what they need to do, and I agree again with Savage, they need to take all of these people out. They need to bring back vagrancy laws, number one, and put these people out in encampments away in an area where they can get some help, health care, dental care, whatever. They can get food. They can get fed. They can get analyzed and checked out to see how their mental state is. And the ones that are too lazy to either, A, get a job, or they are mentally incapacitated, don't leave them running the streets around any major city in any state that allows this stuff to happen. Put them in an encampment or some type of place where they can get help and cared for, but don't let them run wild in the cities. We have billions of dollars that we give to other countries that should not be given a dang dime, and we're not dealing with this type of situation here in our own country. Progressives love this type of environment because it's straight out of the books of the Communist Manifesto. You know, you create chaos, and that's what helps bring down governments. And that's exactly what is going on down there in California. You know, Savage had a person that called in on it, said back in New York, they give $250 motel vouchers to these homeless
they
people.
Do. Yeah.
That is absolutely insane. They need to be taken, again, and put out into some kind of, like out in Mount Home. We don't have the same rate, probably, if you compare California into Idaho with the percentage of how many are homeless and running the streets out here with problems mentally, whatever. But if we did have a problem like that, you put them out near Mountain Home out there, you build a base out there, and some kind of encampment where you can get these people help and see which ones really want to get off their behind and get some help and help themselves to start a life. Don't let them run wild in the streets. Don't quit. Keep throwing the money at them like they do in California, and they overtax everybody till they run like jackrabbits, fleeing that whole state like they have been the last few years here, because you get overtaxed to help throw money at a problem that's not going to be fixed. That's why more of these bums and vagrants go there, and mentally ill people.
All right. Thanks. Okay. The problem is two issues, according to this Spitzer, the guy who's trying to clean up Anaheim.
Yeah.
Legislation signed by Democratic Governor Jerry Brown over the past several years that has eroded the penalties for drug use, possession, and petty crimes to where police just don't bother making arrests anymore. and a change in a law so that treatment is no longer forced for drug abusers or mental health issues, so they just leave those people alone. I'll tell you what's going to get rid of this.
All right.
It's starting to hurt them economically.
So necessity.
Yeah, the vacation, as Mark mentioned, the vacation trade, if you will, has fallen off to such a degree in California that it's starting to hurt,
you know, most,
economically, and hurt bad.
Most everywhere in this country, there are a variety of services that assist homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
However, you do have to take advantage of them. And I remember clear back in the 90s, they were doing studies figuring out why certain people wouldn't take advantage of these studies.
Mm-hmm.
And they just they came out being completely puzzled as to why people wouldn't accept help from, a mission or something like that. But there were a lot of people who wouldn't, and a lot of it had to do with drug use.
Yeah. And they just will not accept the help. You're absolutely correct. And they'll just... you say, we'll put you up, we'll get you an apartment. They'll go, no, thanks.
Yeah.
Don't want that. Not if I have to clean up. So.
Well, you know.
It's a problem.
It is. And I don't know that that's necessarily all, you know, all there is to it. Obviously, there are a lot of mental health issues,
mm-hmm.
You know, where people think, well, it couldn't be any better no matter what I do. At least I'm, you know, I have freedom to do whatever I want. Well, yeah, except that with a great number of limitations.
Yeah. And you wonder about people who have had their businesses ruined and shuttered because of this problem.
Right.
You know, where's the help for them? KBOI News Time, 927.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Life's making you know.
Some classic Mrs. Miller right there.
Downtown is a problem. Downtown Los Angeles. Downtown San Francisco.
By the way,
downtown San Diego.
If you've never heard of the artist Mrs. Miller, there is no way I can possibly explain it to you in the time we have left.
No. No. They're absolutely.
She was somebody that they put on the radio as a joke one time, and she didn't get the joke.
Talking about homelessness in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and let's go to Wade of Napa, get his input. Wade, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, a few years ago, my daughter was a student in San Francisco, and my wife and I go over there to visit her. So we pull up in front of her place, and there's a homeless guy camped on her porch. So we try to walk around him, but you can't get through. So I call my cell phone, and she says, you got to come around the back and walk up this rickety fire stairs to their apartment. So we go on up, and I say, my God, you know, call the police. Well, she says they called many times. And, you know, she's young, and so I said, well, let me call the cops. So I call them. And they give me the same story, yeah. You know, nothing they can do. So I said, well, I'm from Idaho. And either you bring somebody out now or in about 5 minutes you're going to get another 911 call. And this time there is going to be an emergency. I was just bluffing. But she said, well, let me put you on hold. And then she came back, the dispatcher, and said, well, sergeant's on his way. So the sergeant comes out. And talks to the guy. While the sergeant's talking to the guy has a hypodermic needle in his toe, between his toes on my daughter's front porch. Yeah. So anyway, the sergeant told him, okay, you got to go. And so he went. But that's kind of how they do it there. They don't really try.
Well, there's no teeth in the laws anymore.
No, in fact, I mean, the guy wasn't even in trouble. The sergeant just said, hey, there's another spot down the road, another porch down there.
I can see where they might be reluctant to remove somebody from from a public area. But when you're on somebody's porch, that to me is completely different.
Yeah, Chris, it was crazy. I mean, to me, being from here, it seemed insane. But no, the guy had a whole a whole household set up under that porch. It was a four-unit, you know, four apartments in the unit. And all the people had to go around and walk up the back stairs like a fire escape thing.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully, Boise, you know, we got more sense. But I'll tell you, I walked down there. I was at Ruth's Chris not too long ago, walked in there, and there's four or five homeless guys right out in front of pretty much the nicest part of our town, vagrants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to be careful. I mean, no way should we treat these people like subhuman. I mean, they need help, seriously, the homeless, but we can't let them take over either. It's got to be a balance. Yep. Hey, enjoy your show, fellas.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting me talk.
Thanks, okay. Wade. David of Boise says something that I was kind of trying to hit on here. He says earlier, a big problem with Mark's analogy is that most of those homeless people are doing what they choose to do.
No question.
So they won't go to shelters and they won't seek help. You can't round people up if they don't want to be rounded up unless they're actually committing crimes.
Hey, when you go to vacation.
And then you can only book them and probably set them free or whatever you have to do legally.
When you go to vacation in San Francisco, you go to Fisherman's Wharf. That's where they go.
Yeah.
They don't want to go anywhere else.
But he goes on, and they won't seek help because they are fine living the way they are living, mm-hmm. and annoying the populace is just a bonus for some of them. The most common factor between them is that they are society's misfits that want nothing to do with the system.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And to a certain extent, some people have just given up.
Yep. Let's go to Lee of Boise. Lee, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I was in San Diego early December, and no more homeless people there. I saw in the south part of town then, along the Greenbelt and River Street area in Boise, 16th Street. They're all over down there. And the only thing I can tell you is there are a lot of shrubbery along the river, so they probably don't use the streets.
Hmm.
But there is little to no mental facilities to help them. Most of them are druggies or alcoholics. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Other than killing them, I don't have a good solution.
Oh,
well,
yeah, that probably doesn't qualify as a good solution. So you're right.
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't have a good solution.
Yeah.
And
Obviously, there's not a great solution. I don't think there's anything that, you know, has worked 100% anywhere. There are some people who say, you know, the apartment houses and stuff they build for them work for a while, but they seem to have kind of a short-term thing. We're trying it here in Boise. I guess we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, Chris was just talking about what do you say? That's their solution is to be where they are.
Yeah, yeah. They like it.
Other than that, if I was homeless, I'd be in San Diego or Los Angeles. I wouldn't be in Boise. It's damn cold here.
Too cold. You're absolutely right. All right. Thanks, Lee.
Well, but you go back to a certain. There was a time when people weren't particularly called homeless. Some people were called hobos,
vagrants.
And there were bums, and there were people who were just drifters.
Mm-hmm.
And
when I was a kid, hobo jungles.
Yeah, the one advantage they had is they didn't pay taxes to anybody because they were completely off the grid, mm-hmm. which at that time wasn't an electronic grid, but was still a grid.
Mm-hmm. True. All right, we need to take a break. It's 9:44. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. We'll be back with Rick, EJ, and Pro Life.
Hi, you're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
And the sun shines on the bay. Ooh, I want to be there, yeah, in my city.
Ah, the voice. Well, perhaps he doesn't want to be there as much as he used to, huh? San Francisco.
That's a very good question.
San Francisco, one of three cities with major blight. San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles. Homeless people, the homeless camps extending for miles in those cities.
Wow.
And disrupting daily life.
People who aren't homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got this one thing. We'll be to the phones in a minute. This basically just handed me. Boise State Athletics and Cumulus Radio, that's us.
Yeah.
We'll extend our flagship relationship with Boise State Athletics through 2025.
So another 7 years at least.
Another 7 years. Announced today, a renewed agreement with flagship radio partner Cumulus Radio.
Bronco Games, KBOI is what that means.
KBOI, KGIK.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We'll carry Boise State programming, football, men's and women's basketball, pre- and post-game coverage. It's great. Love it.
And special events.
Coaches shows, daily updates, Bronco wrap-ups.
Right on.
Got them all, right?
So if you like that, you know, good news.
Yep. Let's go to the phones now. Here's Rick.
Paul, Chris, try to make this quick. Went down to see my alma mater, the museum, the Midway, yeah. San Diego.
Yep.
Got a park outside of there, covered, I'm sure, for the families to eat their meals. The park was freaking inundated with homeless. Mm. I mean, all the benches, they were all sitting around talking. Now I was by myself at sixth floor, so I didn't have any problem being there. I'm waiting for a taxi. And I saw it would look like the wave. All of a sudden, everybody sat up and everything, and I'm sitting there, you know, by waiting for the taxi, and I'm friggin' trying to figure out. And then I figure out that some of the guys waved their arms. The police drive by to make sure none of the homeless are unconscious, is what I figured out.
Really?
Yeah. It was like the wave, this whole park.
And so they wave their arms to show that they aren't unconscious.
Yeah, or they sit up or whatever. And the police, is the sound of the people is saying police, and then the wave starts. So they're communicating down the park as the police drives by. And if somebody doesn't do it, they go over and tap him, and he gets up and waves, you know?
Which would lead me to believe that one of the major things that the police do then in San Diego when it comes to the homeless is remove the dead ones.
I can't figure that one out. I imagine.
Or the sleepy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just in awe. I'm like, oh, this is going to work. The sad thing was I was on the Midway. That's the reason I went down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, how can you take a, you know, family?
Let me ask a question. Will you go back?
No way. There's no way. I mean,
and that's
left,
the problem.
I went to the Midway and I left sad because it was my ship that I was on,
mm-hmm.
Tip of the Sword in Japan, and I can't see these families doing anything but beelining to the ship, beelining off the ship.
Yeah.
No chance of sitting out in the park and enjoying the thing.
Having lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, they have a freaking restaurant on the fantail of the ship. There you go. Heaven forbid we go outside. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I know you got people on hold. You have people on hold, and I would appreciate, they would appreciate me shutting up.
All right, thanks, Rick. Good stuff. Let's go to
well, and that's for some of you who don't know, that's a museum that's down at the Navy Pier,
right,
in San Diego.
Let's go to EJ. EJ, good morning.
Good morning. I had a relative, I won't say what kind of relative because I wouldn't want to get him in trouble, a police officer from the San Francisco Police Department.
Yeah.
And he is going to try anything he can to get out of there. He said it's horrible. He says the governor there, Jerry Brown, hates law enforcement. He wants just everybody to seem, you know, sing their cum laude and, you know, everybody just help everybody else. But he said there is no respect for any form of law enforcement there. Because you cannot do anything, or Jerry Brown will have your job, and he will fire you. And all the police officers know it. Their hands are totally tied. He said it's horrible, the corruption that's going on there, and the police officers and the police department can't do anything about it.
Well, I would think that when enough damage is done economically, something will be done about it.
Well, he hopes so, too, but I'm convincing him to move his family here because this is a good spot, and he has roots here. But he said it's terrible. The women, there's no way women could walk through there alone.
Yeah, I've heard
they
that.
They didn't do any of those things. Or the women do not go out in it, well, unless they're ladies in the evening. But otherwise, women don't go out in the evening because it's too frightful. And isn't that sad?
Really so sad, because you remember the way it used to be.
And you don't walk the streets unless you're a street walker. Yeah.
No, when you go down on the wharf and everything, it used to be so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And now it's a scary, dilapidated bunch of bums that smells like they brought out earlier. It's nothing but drug addicts. And they're just all patted on the head and say, well, just be nice today.
Well, okay.
So it's bad. We need to more appreciate where we are and appreciate our police department and all of our governors that have had their say in this to keep Idaho a good place. But there's a few that I know of. There's a couple of really chubby boys that are panhandling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually over by Cabela's and places like that. Their parents are on welfare, and so are they. And they're still out there eating all their snacks and panhandling on the corner. I think if any of you have been up by that area, you'll know exactly who I mean. Okay. And why are they out there? You know, they should not be there.
Well, not breaking any laws, apparently.
Yep, but they should be, of just being a basic, decent human being.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, EJ. KBOI News Time is 9:55. We are out of time. Sorry, Pro and others on the line. Didn't get to today. It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
One that's not easily solved.
No, apparently it isn't. Because
if things are easily solved, they're not problems.
Yeah, it's been going on for decades, and it's in almost every country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody's come up with a permanent solution for it yet.
First place I noticed it was in Seattle. Go figure. 9:55.